The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" He said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greeds, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possession." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God's word came to Hosea saying, "When Israel was a child, I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt." Of course, the minds of Israelites went to the days of Egyptian slavery and how God rescued them. But this is not the only time this prophecy would be used. These words are said to have been fulfilled in Christ when, upon the death of Herod, he and his parents were called out of Egypt. And this is in Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. And the language here that God used is kind of like when you're a parent and you have your children and you give them such a name, you know, a good name, you know, a name of endearment. Do you have children who have endearment names? Yes, we do have in our family as well. So God was qualifying Israel, his people, as my firstborn son. Do you remember the trouble with Pharaoh? When that started, he would tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go. Let my firstborn son go. I love this son of mine. Let him go." And these are the language that God used. He says, "I led them with cords of human kindness and with bands of love. I bent down to them and fed them." It's almost like an image of a mother feeding her own child. And to say, you know, mothers stay in the lives of their children all the moment that the mother is alive. They stay in their lives. They still want to care all the time. And that's the same image. I want you to retain that image because we're going to need it a little later. This is important because God loves us and God would like to give us good things. But here, what do we call good things? Is it when we win Mega Millions in a lottery? Is it that what we call good things? A good friend of mine posted on Facebook that the computer that managed that Mega Millions had crashed. So he says, "You know, I may have won millions and never know it right now." And so she was really hoping that maybe something might have happened. But it would be surprising to you what we call good things. What if God were to ask you today, "I want good things for you. Tell me what you have in mind." What would you say? What would you say? And my point here is that only God knows what's best for us. If I think that what's best for me is $40 million, you may not see me tomorrow. But you see, the truth is, that God loves us and wants us in turn that we would love him back and understand his purposes for us. But there is a problem here, because there is something else that draws us away from God. Jesus once said, "No one is able to serve two lords, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or he will hold to the one and he will despise the other." You are not able to serve God and Mammon. This is in Matthew chapter 6. Every day, every moment of our lives, we face two strongly demanding choices. Either we will be taken in by the material possessions. You know, we give in. You know, they draw us and they invite us. It's like swimming in this current. If you don't swim, what happened? You just drown in and it just carries you. It's a strong current. So basically, we Christians have to swim upwards and swim harder to get away from the material possessions that pulls us and draws us. Or we will just draw to be hidden in Jesus Christ, who is everything to us. So he is holding you. You will not have to do anything because he's holding you, because you are hidden in him. Let's go into it. The Hebrew word mammon means the love of money or the accumulation of wealth or greed, or basically to want more and more and more. And I've been there. I don't know about you, but it's a sickness. We want more and want more. And what we have, we're not happy with what we have. We want more and we want more again. And Paul says to us, "Don't you know that your life is hidden in Christ? So set your minds on things above and put to death anything in you that is earthly." Put to death. Strip off the old self and its thinking and put on the new and renewed you that reflect God's image. So on one hand, we are drawn to God in prayer and worship and live simpler life and identify with Christ. And on the other hand, there is this consumer culture that is calling us and draws us and put us into his machinery. But the early church is a great example to us, because in Acts chapter 2, we learn that they sold their possession and share everything. They lived together and they share their whatever came out to the poor. So nobody was lacking. And remember, the disciples of Jesus Christ also left everything to follow Jesus. So it's a major sacrifice that only those who belong to Jesus Christ can understand and appreciate. So we have Luke also, who comes and in front of us and brings all those choices I was telling you about in front of our faces. And he tells a story. A young man comes to Jesus Christ in desperation. "Help me, help me. My brother not only took his part of the inheritance, and he took also my own part. Jesus, come in here and settle this dispute. Make him give me my part here. I'm losing here. I need my part. Why would he take his and take mine as well?" And so, to his dismay, Jesus did not want to get into such a dispute. And I wondered why. And so come to find out, wealth has a way of deeply changing us and altering our perception of reality. I'll give you an example. So you won the lottery, right? 148 millions, right? And then you get so many friends and so many cousins that you have never seen before. And tomorrow, you don't know the life that you had the week before. And it's different. It alters everything about us. And I don't know what money does. And the interesting part about that is that these two things are so connected. Our attitude of amassing wealth and our spiritual lives are two connected things. So way more connected than we know. So if I give you
$40 million, it would be so surprising how much everything changes, because there are needs that come that you never thought that you had. And all of a sudden, your family never get to see you again because you're gone. And it's very hard. And this young man came to Jesus. He was already in distress. I need my part here. Won't you be on his side? Won't you be on his side? I need my part. Don't you see that he needs to give me my part here? And Jesus would not enter into that discussion. And he said instead, beware of greed. I would have said, my brother need to hear this. Beware of greed. But he was telling all of us, not only his brother, him who's losing his inheritance, and all of us, he's talking to us. Beware of greed. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And remember God's love from Hosea? You know, the love that looks like a mother loving his child? That's where we need to dwell, in that reality that God loves you. God loves you and he knows what's best for you. Whatever you have in your life, that's what God has given you at this point. Grow and learn and marvel and be thankful. Each day in the morning we wake up, tell God, thank you. I have breath. I have two hands. I have two legs. I have eyes that works. I have ears that work. Thank you, God. Thank you for what I have. Thank you, Jesus. The problem here is that the more intensely we pursue material wealth, the further away from God we get. And that's why Jesus did not want to get involved, because greed is a feature of all cultures, and it's corrosive and it's destructive. And the world presents it as clean and harmless. Is it harmless? Is wealth, is greed harmless, really? Is it harmless? Look at what he has done to our world. All Jesus was saying to this man about to lose his inheritance was, there is another way. Trust God. Even though we all want financial security, don't be like the wealthy man in Jesus' parable who only thought of himself, his wealth, his future, and not about God or other people in the equation. And Jesus' point is that, hey, all your plans are all coming crashing down to nothing because your life is being demanded of you tonight. You are dying tonight. So all your wealth will not go to anyone. And I love what Bishop Barron was saying last night, is that our wealth, we need to hold it lightly. Lightly, because it's like on 4th of July, you see those and then boom, and it's nice and looks nice and then it disappears. So we don't have to hold on to it as if all our lives depends upon it. We just hold on to it lightly because it has wings of it. They have wings on their own. So you see, everything else we put our trust in can fail. So we should only trust God. You can trust people, even the closest people in your life, or equipment, or even nature itself. If, for example, you are a farmer and you say, oh, when my harvest is done, I will pay myself a holiday in Italy. And you don't know that the weather might not cooperate. Your harvest may not happen. So we are to put our trust in God. And at that point, we understand that we don't really own anything. I will give you an example. After the civil war in Rwanda, the people, the new occupants of the country, told those who went outside in exile that, so you want your house here? You want your house? Do you have a deed to your house? Okay, come and get it. And put it on your back and take it out of our country. And we're talking about two same citizens of the same country. So, when you have something, do you have it? Because you can lose it in a matter of seconds. Obviously, there is nothing wrong with being wealthy. But our attitude towards obtaining wealth
puts us at odds with each other and at odds with God. We ought to examine ourselves and ask, do I view what I own as God-given? Believers know that wealth is to be used wisely with God and others in mind. Lord Jesus, help us to know the difference and to live in your grace. Amen.